this morning, isn't it? But it's great to be able to celebrate with you both. Jacob's arrival, obviously he hasn't just arrived. He's sort of, you know, he's a bit bigger than he was when he just arrived. But we want to thank God for his arrival. I'm going to pray for you as parents. And we also want to ask you some important questions, promises that you make today. And a question for our church family in terms of our support for this family as well. And what we're doing follows some of the things that we find in the Bible. As Jesus was brought to the temple shortly after he was born, we recognize that our children are a gift from God. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. And we want to ask you some really important and serious questions as you parent your little boy. And we want to pray for you. And we want to pray God's blessing on him as well. Now, you've seen the questions I'm going to ask you, okay? That's important, actually, because they are significant questions. But here's the first question. Sophie and Stav, do you thank God for his gift of your child? And do you accept the joys and duties of parenthood, promising to give love and care to Jacob? Yes. Great. Do you promise to bring Jacob up within the Christian community and to share your own faith with him? And a very difficult question, because none of us know where our children are going to go and what they're going to do in the future. But do you promise to remain faithful to Jacob, whatever the future may bring, and to respect him wherever he may go, and to remember always that he is your child? Okay. Big question. Big promise, isn't it? And to our church family, a question to you. And the appropriate answer this morning is we do, okay? Do you promise to offer to Jacob and to Sophie and Stav your love and your care, and to join with Jacob's parents in sharing our Christian faith?
Yeah.
We do. There's a lovely affirmation from your church family that we will help you in bringing Jacob up within the Christian faith. Let's pray over this little guy, shall we? As I watch my glasses, as usual. It's always slightly tricky, isn't it? But Jacob, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Don't look terribly impressed with that prayer. Maybe we should give you back at this stage. You're going to mum. Okay, brilliant. Let's pray, shall we, for this family, okay? Creator God, we worship you today for the gift of a new life. And we come with joy in our hearts to thank you for Jacob, to praise you for all that his birth means to us and all that it means to you. We thank you for the love that has brought Jacob into being, and the care that surrounds him, and the excitement that his arrival has brought, and the happiness that he has given to those around him. Lord of life, hear our prayer. And grant your blessing upon Jacob. Watch over him. Guide his footsteps, protect him from danger, bless him with good health, fill him with joy. And in the fullness of your time, may he come to know your love and respond to you in faith, discovering the joy and peace that you alone can offer. We pray, Father, that you will help Sophie and Stav, whom you've entrusted with the responsibilities of parenthood. Give them wisdom, give them patience, give them devotion, and give them dedication to their little boy. May Jacob enrich their lives in immeasurable ways, and may Sophie and Stav in turn offer Jacob the security of a loving and caring home in which to grow. Help this family through their words and actions to sow the seeds of your love in Jacob's heart, and then to give him space to make his own response in his own time and his own way. Creator God, thank you for this special moment. Thank you for this child. Thank you for this family. And thank you for the love that surrounds us all this day and always. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. We have a Bible which marks today and a card. Probably not quite able to read it just yet. But an important moment for this day, and we want to place God's word with you guys and with this family and with this little boy. So God bless you as a family.
Thank you.
And Jacob too. Thank you. We'll sing two songs. Would you please sit? Lovely to see Margaret and Philip Warburton with us today. Lovely to see you back, Philip, with a pastor in this church a number of years ago. Lovely to see you with us this morning. Now, this morning is all-age worship, okay? Now, if you're visiting today and you think, well, what difference is that about sort of other Sundays? Well, we're all in together. And that usually means I need a few volunteers because we're going to learn together this morning. So, a few people to help me, okay? I'm actually going to probably just go for a few people here this morning. So, Phil, I'd like you to take that, and Sarah, I'd like you to take that, okay? Okay, Sean, come back to you in a minute, all right? Okay? Who else is going to help me this morning here? Are you volunteering to help me? You're not, okay, all right? So, I'll just double check that, okay, just to make sure. Duncan, would you like to give me a hand, okay? Barry, why don't you give me a hand as well, okay? Who else is going to help me? Megan, give me a hand. Okay, let's just find a couple of children to help as well. Where are you, Charlotte? Come on, then. Now, if you've got one of those letters, I want you to come up to the front, okay? Come up to the front, and I want you to rearrange yourselves and find out what that word actually is that you've been given this morning, okay? And stand across the front when you've managed to work out what the word is. If you can put the laptop back up as well, that'll be really helpful for me, okay? There's a lot of kind of discussion going on here at the moment. It begins with P, okay? All right? Begins with P. And I'll give you another clue. It ends in E. Okay? Okay, how are we doing? You're probably going to make a word that I never even thought of, I expect. Where are we getting? P-U-R-P-O, Megan. Who's got S? And Barry, E. There we go. What does that say? Purpose. Purpose. Well done. That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Now, what does purpose actually mean? Now, I want you to think for a few minutes how you use that word. Okay, think for a minute. How do we use this word purpose? What do we mean? I'll give you a few little hints here, okay? Here's what it says in the dictionary. The reason for which something exists, all right? Okay, anybody think, what does purpose actually mean? Anybody tell me? How well might we use the word in a sentence? Anyone going to help me? I did it on purpose. Thank you, Roy. I did it on purpose. So, okay, it's something very specific that we decide that we want to do. There you are. Look, how's how we use it? To an aim or a goal. We did it on purpose. Or we have a purpose. That's another way of looking at it. Now, that's really helpful. Just hold that word there for a minute, okay? Now, one of the questions that we often ask each other when we meet each other is, what is your name? No one's ever come to me who's ever met me before and says, what's your purpose, okay? That's a first, all right? What is your name, okay? That's often the question we ask each other, isn't it? What is your name? And we like it when someone asks us, what is our name? Or, who are you? A friend of mine gave me a mug which sits on my desk, which always makes me smile. It says, I've been called many things in my life, but Adrian is the best name I respond to. Okay? That's always helpful. We like to be called by our names. Now, the second question, and you're way ahead of me this morning, that we often ask each other is, what do you do? What do you do? That's a purpose question, isn't it? What do you actually do? Here's what the Bible says about purpose. It says, everything got started in Jesus and finds its purpose in Jesus. And that's what we're going to unpack this morning. What does that actually mean for us as children, as teenagers, and as adults? Living our lives in the way God wants us to live our lives. Now, you guys can head back to your seats. I've got another activity for us to do this morning. So if you're sitting at the end of a row, put your hand down the side of the seat and you'll find some post-it notes, okay? And I want you to divide those up and make sure everybody in your row has a post-it note. That's really helpful. Thank you. Thank you. So you should all have a post-it note, and somewhere you should have a pencil. That is the most challenging part of the morning, you'll be glad to know. You've got a post-it note and you've got a pencil, okay? All right? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, on your post-it note, okay,
on your post-it note, I've got one here, thank you, I want you to answer this question. I hope this doesn't happen to you. Well, it did happen to one of our guys from Costa Rica. You may have heard the story the other week of his house burning down. If your house was burning down and you could rescue one most valuable thing in your house, what would it be? You've got a couple of seconds to grab that most valuable thing. What would it be? Write it down on your piece of paper. Okay. You've had your 3 seconds to guess what it is, all right? So on your piece of paper, is anyone brave enough to call out what they've written down? I'll give you... Pardon? Your wife, okay? Your wife, all right? Okay? There's the age of the romantic, okay? Carrying his wife out of the burning house. What else? Pardon?
Bob.
Bob, sorry. Who's Bob?
My toy.
Your toy, okay. Your favourite toy, okay. Anybody else? Yep. Your mum's ashes, okay. All right. Precious stuff, okay. Wasn't expecting that answer. Margaret? Yep. Your Bible, okay. I'll balance that. We did this game with my uncle, actually, and my uncle said, my wallet. Okay. It's interesting what we grab first, isn't it, sometimes, okay. What would you? What was your answer?
I said fire extinguisher.
Say again?
Fire extinguisher.
Fire extinguisher, okay. I was a practical man, okay? Practical man. Anyone else brave enough? Yes.
I've said my mobile phone, yep. Which I keep with my debit card. So
yeah, okay. So mobile phone, you've got all the cards
and I've got the Bible on it as well.
And the Bible's on the mobile phone. That's a great answer, isn't it? Really good. Okay. Anybody else, yeah?
The dog?
Yeah. The dog, okay, all right, the dog, yeah. Yes, we're all the way back here, Christine. Oh. Okay, what would you...
First I thought David, but I thought photos.
Okay, so David first and then the photos, all right, okay. Now I want you to pass those post-its down to the far end, the end of the walls, okay? And I want whoever's at the end of the row, just stick them on the walls, okay? Just stick those post-it notes on the walls, okay, while you're doing that. While you're doing that, I'd like you to turn to your Bibles this morning, okay? To Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Two of our children are coming and read this passage for us, okay? Let's find our Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. You can have a look around this morning. We've got a lot of stuff, haven't we? A lot of things on our post-it notes. And the question that we're going to be thinking about this morning is, how do we get our lives the right way round? How do we get the right priorities? How do we live according to God's purposes rather than our purposes? And in our Bible reading this morning, we're going to discover what Jesus had to say about living for God's purpose. So Charlotte and I don't know how you pronounce your name.
Aira.
Okay. All right. I always get it the wrong way around because I'm Irish and I tend to read it the other way around. Okay. So Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 to 34, I want you to listen out for 3 tiny little questions that Jesus asks in this passage. And I want you to see if you can work out what they are, okay? So let's do our reading, all right? Charlotte, you're starting off, are you?
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying and add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these.
If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Well done. Brilliant. Now, let's keep our Bibles open this morning, okay? What are the three little questions? Has anybody spotted what the three little questions are? They all come quite close together. You're going to answer. Well, you've read it. You probably know the answer, don't you? What are the three little questions?
What shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear?
Brilliant. Okay, three important questions. Now, every one of us have asked that question this morning, haven't we? What shall I eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? Now, I get up quite early on a Sunday morning, and it's a bit difficult, because sometimes June's still fast asleep, and our bedroom's pitch dark. Sometimes I don't really know what I'm wearing till I arrive at church. Okay? That's a tricky question for me on a Sunday morning. But think about the questions. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And Jesus said there are two groups of people. There are people who don't know and love God, and there are those who do love God. And people who don't know God, often the question starts with what do they want in their lives? What comes first for them? So Jesus is saying, people who don't know and don't love God often ask these questions, and their lives become surrounded by these three big questions. And if you look at some of our advertisements, you'll see there you are. What shall we eat? There's a lovely McDonald's ad, okay? What shall we eat? You don't have to look very far to find what shall we drink. And you don't have to look awfully much further than that to find the question of what shall we wear. And we can add to that all sorts of other little questions. Another question we might ask is, what shall we drive? I found this quotation which really made me stop and think this week. Nothing ages your old car faster than someone else's new one. That's how it works. Make us dissatisfied with today so that we want more tomorrow. And Jesus is speaking to people who think a little bit like that in this passage that we've got in front of us this morning. And he says to us, it's not helpful to live like that. Here's some important things that Jesus says. If you have your Bible open, you'll see what he's saying. Jesus says, if you live like this, it misses the whole point of life. Look at verse 25. And here's what Jesus says. I tell you, don't worry about your life. Yeah, drink and buy stuff for your clothes and what you wear are important, but life is much more important than eating and drinking. It's much more important than Marks and Spencers. Here we go. Quality worth every penny. But Jesus is saying there are more important things in life. That's the first thing that he says. Second thing that Jesus says in verse 26, if you have your Bible open, you'll see that Jesus is saying that living like this is just illogical. It doesn't really make any sense to base our lives around these kinds of questions. Here's what Jesus says. Look, have a look at the birds in the air. Now, hands up if you've ever seen a bird ploughing a field. And hands up if you've ever seen a bird stocking a barn to the full. Well, we don't see the birds doing that, do we? And that's what Jesus is really saying. He says, when you look at the birds of the air, remember that God cares for them. And if he can care for them, he can also care for you. So Jesus says, you know, living like this is just illogical. Third thing that Jesus says is that living like this is a complete waste of time. Here's what he says in verse 27. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? You cannot make your life longer, okay? And often we make our lives shorter by worrying, don't we? I love this quotation from Winston Churchill. He said, as he's talking about somebody that he met, when I look back on all these worries, he says, I remember the story of an old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which has never happened. And that's what Jesus is saying in this passage, essentially. He's saying, living like this is a complete waste of time. If we set our hearts on these kind of things, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, what shall we drive, etc., etc., Jesus is saying that is a waste of your life. And it's incompatible with following Jesus. This is really important, what Jesus says in these next few verses here. Jesus says, why do you worry about your clothes? And then he says something really important. He looks around in the area where he's teaching, which is in the area of Galilee. And if you ever go to Galilee and it rains and it's been quite dry, literally within a few hours, you can see something like this. The flowers suddenly appear. And what Jesus is saying, if God can do that miraculously, then he's well able to look after you as well. So living like that is incompatible with following Jesus. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. And the last thing that Jesus says here is that actually living like this just ignores common sense. And Jesus quotes, says something here that has found its way into our everyday language. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough worry of its own. Jesus speaks a lot of sense in this passage, doesn't he? But then he says, here is how you need to live. And he puts it like this. And I want us to learn this verse this morning. Jesus said, don't go after the things like those who don't know and love God. But he says, try and get things the right way round. He talks about seeking God's kingdom. And here's a lovely verse. I want us to see if we can learn this verse this morning and take it away with us. So let's read it out loud together, first of all, and see if we can learn it, shall we? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, let's make it a little bit more difficult, shall we? Seek the above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Shall we make it more difficult? Seek above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let's see if we can make it even more difficult. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let's make it really difficult, shall we? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything, I'm stumbling, that you need. Okay, we've done well. So what does that mean? What does it mean to put God's kingdom first? Well, we're going to answer that question in just a minute, but we're going to sing another song, which is essentially singing the things that we believe. We're going to sing the important things about what we've been thinking about this morning. Let's try our memory verse again, shall we? There's a quick preview. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's gone, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and... Oh, I think we've got to start again, okay, here we go. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need, okay? Here it's gone. Seek first... Excellent. Yes, it is on the piece of paper. You're absolutely right. It is. It is. We've got some very sharp children with us this morning. I want to try and illustrate, okay, if I can, what Jesus is saying here with an illustration that that Jen has very kindly helped us to kind of come up with today. I need some help here. Jen, I think I do need your help, actually, please. These are one of these illustrations. If it goes really well, you'll probably never forget it. If it goes terribly well, you'll also never forget it, okay? One way or the other, okay? So, I want you to imagine, first of all, that this is us, this is our life, okay? Our life, okay? All right? And we've got lots and lots of things that we want to actually do in our lives. We've got things that are important to us. So, I want to kind of show you what happens when we put our stuff first and we leave God out of the picture. So, this is going to fall all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll hold on to this. This is what Jen's called stuff, okay? You know, the stuff in our life, the things that kind of we kind of have to do, all right? So, shall we put that in first then? This is the stuff in our lives, okay? So we put the stuff in first, okay? This is a little bit like what Jesus was saying. You know, the things, the eating, the drinking, the wearing, okay? Let's put that stuff first in our lives, okay? The next things are things that we must do. Okay, any examples of things that we must, what are some of the things that we must do? Yeah, shout them out.
Food shopping,
yeah, what else? Pardon? Going to school, yeah. Working, yeah. Jobs, yeah. Okay, so we put all the sort of stuff that we have to do into our lives, okay. And then, what's this one? The really important things, okay. So perhaps it's Paul carrying Jean out of the burning house. Maybe some of us it's, maybe it gives it away actually. Football? Sport? Yeah. So we put the important, really important things into our lives. And then we think, okay, so where does God fit? All right, so we have this ball which represents God. And what happens? What happens? Does it fit? Does it work? It doesn't work that way around, does it? We put all that stuff into our lives and the things that we have to do and the really important things, and then we try to squeeze God into everything else. It just doesn't fit. Now let's see if we can work out what Jesus is saying here and see if we can illustrate it, okay? Which begins by putting God into our lives first. That's what we've been learning this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God. So we put God first into our lives. So let's see if we can do that, okay? So we put God first into our lives. Then we put some of the important things into our lives. Okay? All right? Yeah, okay. Then we put the things that we have to do into our lives. Okay? All right? Yeah. And then we put the sort of stuff in, okay? All the other bits and pieces that we have to do. And what happens when we put God first in our lives and we begin to put things the right way around? Suddenly, it all fits. How about that? Brilliant. Really good. That's a really helpful, powerful illustration, okay, of what happens when we get things the right. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us in the passage that we're looking at together this morning. Let's just see how we're doing with our Bible verse, shall we? I think by now we probably should know it quite well, actually. Let's see if we can remember it again, shall we? Oh, I was going to go back to this one. Yeah, let's do the Bible verse one more time, okay? Here we are. And if you really want to cheat, it's on the sheet which I've just given you, all right? But if you want to learn it, here's the chance, okay? So let's do it, shall we? Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, or live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. That's the illustration that we've just done. Put God first in your life, and then all of the other important things find their rightful place. Now, some of you have been doing Bible in a year might have noticed that yesterday it was all about purpose. And there was a really interesting illustration of a man, an author, who was really kind of quite hard down in life. He wanted to write a book. He needed to earn some money. He didn't know how he was going to write the book and what he was going to write it about. And he decided that he would write a book which was all about purpose. What's life all about? And he went and he interviewed the rich and the famous across the world. And here's some of the things that people said in response to his question. Richard Nixon described that the purpose of life being one crisis after another. Now, if that's how you feel about life this morning, I don't know. John Lennon, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Yep. Quite like this one. If any of you sort of in the sort of comics magazines from a few years ago, Dennis the Menace, life is what you make it and I can make it unbearable. Okay, well, that's the kind of character that he was. And this one from Albert Einstein, the man who regards his life and that of his fellow creatures as meaningless is not merely unhappy, but hardly fit for life. And then this lovely answer from actually the chief cashier of the Bank of England. He used to sign a lot of our Bible notes up until fairly recently. He said, I am clear that the meaning of life can only properly be understood in the context of our relationship with God. And that's what Jesus has been teaching us this morning from the Bible. Seek God's kingdom first, put God first in your life. Now, how can we do that? How can we live out the kingdom? Well, grab that sheet which we've just handed out. Here's a few helpful things for you to think about and take away with you this morning. Let's just look at some of these questions. These are questions that help us to stop and think this morning about what Jesus has been saying to us and to think about what our answer might be. So we've heard what Jesus is saying. We've seen the illustration, haven't we, of how it works when we get things the right way round. God at the centre of our lives, and everything else finds its rightful place. Here are five really helpful questions for us to think about. And that's all we're going to do. We're going to think about these questions as we conclude this morning. What comes first in my life? What goes first in the jar for you? As you think about that this morning and what Jesus has been teaching us in that important passage in the Bible. I found this lovely quotation. When God is at the centre of your life, you worship. When he's not, you worry. And here's what Paul says. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart. So there's the first question for us to think about and take away this morning. What comes first in my life? Second question. What kind of person am I? What kind of follower of Jesus am I? The Bible says to us that this is what God wants to grow in us. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Are we growing more like Jesus? That's the question of discipleship, isn't it? What kind of person am I? Third question we can ask ourselves is, how do I serve? What about the gifts and the abilities that God has given to us? What are we doing with those gifts and abilities? Are we putting God first in our lives so that the gifts and abilities that he has given to us are important? Jesus said, I commissioned you to go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And we all have different fruit to bring. So there's a different type of question. How do I serve? Fourth question on our sheets. What is my Jesus story? If someone was to stop you during the week and ask you about Jesus, how would you answer that question? Well, the Bible says to us, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. So what is my Jesus story? And the final question on our sheets, in what way am I playing my part in his church? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? There are loads of one another passages in the Bible. Love one another. Encourage one another. Rejoice with each other. Carry each other's burdens. Are we doing that kind of stuff as a church family? In what way am I playing my part in his church? Now, those are questions for us to think about as we take them away this morning. As you have that sheet in front of you, have a listen to this song, which just helps us to stop and think as we come towards the end of our service together. What has God been saying to us in that passage we've been looking at together this morning? How do we put God's kingdom first? Dare we try the Bible verse again? We could read it from the sheet, actually, couldn't we? Shall we do that? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Here's a song that we can just sit for just a couple of moments quietly as we reflect on what God's been saying to us this morning.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie, but it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus.
Before we sing some final songs, let's use these words that we sometimes sing as a prayer this morning. So let's pray these words this morning. Shall we do that together? Jesus, be the center. Be my source. Be my light. Jesus, be the center. Be my hope. Be my song. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, be my vision. Be my path. Be my guide. Amen. I'm going to sing.